our journey through the minor prophets. We have three left, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Those last three, we've been doing them chronologically, but the last three are in chronological order. They are the last three chronologically in that order. By the way, it blessed my heart this morning to see a full house, to have almost 100 people stand together today. That was a blessing. Amen. God is good, and we will trust Him to watch over His church. This book, Haggai, written about 500 B.C., chronologically, this prophecy was given just prior to the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem under Ezra. And if you remember, that order to rebuild the city was the trigger point for counting how many weeks it would be until the Lord Jesus Christ would come to the earth. Remember the weeks of Daniel. And the once that Gentile king made that decree and sent Ezra back to rebuild Jerusalem, that was when the dating began from Daniel's weeks in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 9. And that's, again, how the prophets of Herod's time were able to answer his question about when the Messiah should be born, all based on the order given. Well, it was Haggai, the prophet, whom God spoke through to say to Israel, it's time to go back and rebuild the city. Because remember, they had now been captives. It had a second, maybe even a third generation who had grown up in Babylon, even though they were Jews. And God said, it's time to take courage, go back, and rebuild the city, which had, of course, had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And then chronologically, then came Zechariah's prophecy about the same time. Then the city was rebuilt under Ezra. Then the walls were rebuilt under Nehemiah. And then the final book of the Bible, Malachi, came after the rebuilding of the city and the walls, just to kind of give you an idea of timing. Malachi around 400. This book, again, was written primarily to say to Israel, it's time to rebuild. If you go down to verse 7, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. Amen? Go about and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, which has been destroyed. That is the primary message of the book of Haggai to Israel. But in the course of that, of course, he teaches them some great spiritual lessons, which we can learn from tonight. So beginning in verse 1 of Haggai, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Consider your ways. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for how precious and powerful it is. And for this book, Lord, that you used to stir up your people to rebuild the temple. And I pray now, Lord, that it will stir up us as your children, that we have some rebuilding to do in our own lives. I pray, Lord, that we'll take heed to what the Holy Spirit says to us, that what is said and done would bring you glory and you would guide us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So notice that the people of Israel were putting off the restoration of God's house, even though Darius, the Gentile king whom they were living under, as originally captive under, had said that they could go back. They didn't immediately go back. God had to send them Haggai to say, it's time. So stop lounging around in your own houses here in Babylon. It's time to go back to your homeland, back to Jerusalem, and rebuild the temple. And so you notice multiple times God said to them, consider your ways. Stop and consider what you're doing versus what I'm asking you to do. And God, of course, would say the same to us. Consider your ways. Consider the decisions you're making. Consider where you're going with your current course, your current Christian life. Consider it and stop and take account. Are you going down God's path or your own path? God said here, in these last days, men should be lovers of their own selves. Well, we see that, don't we? It's all about pleasing self now. But God is saying, no, I want you to put me first. And that's, of course, a scriptural principle, Old Testament, New Testament, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we have to, as Haggai said to Israel, we need to consider our ways. If you go to Luke 9:23, Jesus gave us a challenge, if you will, along these lines. And it is a very heart-wrenching, powerful challenge. Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him, number one, deny himself, and number two, take up his cross daily, and number three, follow me. That's quite a calling, is it not? To deny self and to take up the cross, in other words, crucify self and to follow Christ. This is what God is asking of all of us. That we consider our ways and say, is this me? Am I a true follower of Jesus Christ? Have I denied myself? Am I taking up my cross daily? Am I following the Lord Jesus Christ and his word or not? Paul said we need to stop and take account. He said, the things that I counted gain, I counted loss for Christ, in Philippians 3:7. He said, nothing else mattered but putting Jesus first. And we need to do the same. If you look at Deuteronomy 32:39, just before God sent Israel into the promised land, after their wanderings, of course, notice here, this is coming from Moses just prior to his death, here in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. This is God speaking. He says, oh, that they would, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Kind of the same message, isn't it? That they would stop and consider where they're heading. And consider where it leads. Consider their latter end. As he said to them through Haggai, consider your ways. Consider where you're going. Stop and take account. Are you putting me first? Are you obeying me? Consider your ways. And we could apply this to any aspect of the Christian life, couldn't we? Consider where self-righteousness leads. Consider where pride would lead. Consider where gossip leads, where bitterness would lead, unforgiveness, judgmentalism, lack of faith, complaining, complacency, neglect of prayer. Consider where those things will lead. And so God is saying, take account. Consider your ways. He's saying this to Israel. Well, because they wouldn't listen at first, God had to actually, if you will, wake them up with some chastisement. And notice in verse 6, he said, you've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. You earn wages to put it in a bag with holes. So stop and realize, this is me trying to get your attention. That you're not satisfied. Your needs aren't being met there in Babylon. That's because I'm telling you, you need to leave Babylon. It's time. It's time to go home. Well, they didn't want to go home. They had established, again, generations of families. There would be people with children who had never been to Israel. And now God's telling them to go back, and many of them don't want to. This is their new home. God is saying, I guess the only way I can get your attention is to make it such that you're not satisfied with where you live. So you earn money, you put it in a bag with holes. There's not enough to eat, not enough to drink. You aren't kept warm. Why? Because I'm trying to get your attention. Well, if you go to Revelation 3, God said the same thing to the church. And he says the same thing to you and I. Sometimes we just need to stop and listen to what God is trying to say. Notice he says Revelation 3:17. He's speaking here to the church at Laodicea, which, by the way, is the seventh of the seven churches, which most likely represents us in the end times. And he says, Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, he's not speaking to the lost. He's speaking to Christians. He's saying, because you say, I have everything, I'm so provided for, I'm so content, I'm so happy. He says, you need to stop and consider your ways and realize that on a spiritual level, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And stop basing it on material considerations and start looking at your heart. Which Israel was doing the exact same thing. And God said, the only way I can get your attention is to go after the material. Because you're not listening. I keep saying go home and you won't go home. So back to our passage here in Haggai 1. What we find, they were putting themselves before God. Well, we're tempted by the devil to do that all the time. When we aren't right with God, as we see in verse 6, we're miserable. We've all met backslidden Christians that try to put on a front that they're all happy. But you don't have to talk to them very long to find out that they're actually very miserable. Why is that? Because they're not right with God. And God's going to make their life miserable until they get right with Him. That's just how God works. And so He's saying, your lives are miserable. You don't have enough to eat. You don't have enough to drink. I'm holding the water from the clouds. I'm making sure you're not warm. And you earn money to put it in a bag with holes. So He then repeats Himself in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now that He said to them, all these things that have been happening to you on a material level, it's coming from Me. Now that you know that, verse 7, what does He say again? Consider your ways. Stop and realize, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He's saying to Israel, you haven't been listening to me, so you're reaping my chastisement. Consider your ways. Wake up. So verse 8, go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. That's pretty clear instructions, isn't it? Leave Babylon, go up into the mountains around Jerusalem, cut down some trees, and rebuild the temple. God's not ambiguous in his command, is he? And he's saying, if you will put me first, I will be glorified and you will be blessed. That's always been a basic biblical principle. If we'll put God first and glorify him with what we do and what we say and how we act and so forth, God will bless us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, and what? All these things, you look at the context, the things he's talking about are food and clothing. All these things shall be added unto you. If you what? Put God first. He's saying the same thing to Israel. And 1 Peter 4:2, turn there quick if you would. 1 Peter 4:2. This is what God wants from us. That we no longer should live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. However much time we have left on earth, that we shouldn't live it to please self, but we should live it to the will of God. And that's what God is telling his people. Yep, you've been in Babylon for 70 years. You deserved it. I warned you about it. I had to follow through because you wouldn't listen and obey. It's over now. It's time to go home. They didn't want to go home. They wanted to stay in Babylon because by the now, Darius is treating them pretty good. They're not slaves or anything. They've been given their own little villages and they're happy. And God says, consider your ways. I want you to go home. I want you to cut down the trees and I want you to rebuild my temple. And you know what I love about this book over what we've read in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea and Joel is that they actually listened and did something. And we haven't seen that very often, have we? What we've been seeing over and over again prior to the captivity was God says, do this, and Israel said, no. And God said, but do this, and they said, no. And we've seen that so many times. It wearies you. That's what I love about Haggai. Look at verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Isn't that good? They said, we hear what Haggai is saying. We look around and see that, yes, God's been trying to get our attention on a physical, material level. So we need to do what he's telling us to do. And they packed up their houses, packed up their kids, and they traveled from Babylon back to Israel. They obeyed. If only it always went that way. That when God says, I'm trying to get your attention and I want you to consider your ways, that we would stop and take account and say, yep, I need to put God first and I need to obey God. And that's exactly what they did. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. They said, we hear you, God. You got our attention. We'll go home and we'll rebuild the temple just like you commanded us to. And look at God's response in verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Isn't that good? You've decided to go home. You've decided to obey me and rebuild my temple. I am with you. We haven't seen that very much, have we? In all of these prophets. Instead, we've seen disobedience and stubbornness. I'm with you, God says. You're going to go home, I'm with you. And when we decide to move forward in obedience, God says the same to us. I'm with you. Deuteronomy 28, just quickly, I want to show you an example from pre-promised land where God said the same to Israel way back. Remember, this is 1,000 years earlier, okay? 1,000 years. That's a long time. Here in Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then he spends the whole chapter talking about all the blessings that he will pour out upon them. One condition: obey. Guess what? They didn't do it. They did not obey, and therefore they did not get to enjoy all the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. They instead got to enjoy all the curses at the end of the chapter. How sad. So this is an exciting chapter in Haggai 1. God said, consider your ways. I've been trying to get your attention. Are you going to listen? And they said, we hear you, Lord. We're going to obey. We're going to go home and we're going to rebuild the temple. So back to our passage, Haggai 1, verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They packed up their families. They packed up their homes. They went back to Israel. They went up into the mountains. They cut down the trees. And they started rebuilding the temple. Now, God even tells us how many days, which it wasn't really a long time. If you look at the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter, from the day that God spoke originally through Haggai to Israel until they said, we will go, and they packed up their families and went, was only 3 weeks, 23 days. That's good, isn't it? Basically long enough to pack up their homes and go back. And 4 years later, if you go to Ezra chapter 6, verse 15, we'll see it. 4 years later, they were done. It only took them 4 years to rebuild the entire city of Jerusalem, but primarily the temple itself. Because remember, Nebuchadnezzar had his captain of the guard raise it to the ground. And notice Ezra 6, verse 15. Actually, that's a bad reference, isn't it? There is no Ezra 6:15. Don't you hate it when that happens? Oh, no wonder, because I'm an Esther. That would explain it. They both start with E. It is Ezra 6:15. And this house was finished on the third day of the month, Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. If you notice Haggai chapter 1, it said the second year of Darius the king. So 4 years after God, through Haggai, said to Israel, go home and rebuild my temple, rebuild my city, they finished it. Isn't that good? They rebuilt the temple. They considered their ways. They stopped and took account of God trying to get their attention in many different ways in the physical level. And they said, we hear you, Lord. We'll do it. And God stirred them up, and they went back, and they rebuilt the city. And then later, of course, God stirred up Nehemiah, who went back and then rebuilt the wall. Because in those days, if you had a city without a wall, it wasn't much good, because you had no way to defend it from attackers. But what a blessing to see them actually obey. And this is almost kind of like a miniature revival. There's another one in the book of Nehemiah. If you want to read Nehemiah, it's not a long book. They had a little revival too, such that they pulled out the book and that they hadn't read for 100 years, called the Bible. And it literally transformed the people because they heard these words that they had invented them and never heard before, and had a revival. All it took was listening to God and considering their ways. Amen? And it's the same for us. We need to stop. We need to take account and consider our ways. Where am I headed with this behavior? Where am I headed with these decisions? Am I putting God first? Am I living a life of obedience? If not, I need, as Haggai said, to consider. Consider your ways. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great example from